I guess I shouldn't be in a big hurry. This is where we live, having tests and adversity and trials and stress put upon ourselves in the spiritual warfare every day, all day long. And this is, as I said, it's where we live. But this, as far as I'm concerned, things like this and Sunday or Wednesday evening of spiritual love is the heart of what we do, and things like Tuesday night in Revelation is the encouragement to live, as we said, and walk in the Spirit. So let's prepare ourselves for study. We've got several passages to look at in our study this morning in dealing with testing. And remember that this all came about. Philip was just in a normal day and walking with the Lord. He probably walked with the Lord more than any of the other disciples, taking the time in which he was called. And where his name comes up, he probably was independently wealthy and was able to follow the Lord around and take time off more than maybe the others were at the beginning and support the Lord. He probably, this is all speculation by many people who study, probably supported the Lord more than any of the other disciples, maybe all of them combined. And, of course, Judas is there taking it, but Philip was giving it. And all of a sudden, Philip's in the middle of a big test. And so let's prepare ourselves and for the proper understanding of Scripture, which requires the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Not my studying, but the Holy Spirit opening our eyes, we might see what he would have us to see and hear what he would have us to hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we now dare to do the most dangerous thing that we will ever do in our lives, and that is to open the Bible. As we do, Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to see what you would have us to see in truth. Have us to hear what your Spirit would say to us this morning, that it will have an impact, Heavenly Father, in our daily lives. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week we introduced our study with what a believer claims. And believers make a lot of claims in life, and particularly in trials and in adversities and sufferings, but we make a lot of claims in life. Many will claim faith, but it's not the faith God is looking for. Certainly it is a faith. But just because someone says they're doing faith does not mean that is the faith that God is looking for. Many will claim love. But when the issue comes down to it, they harbor in their soul bitterness, hate, anxiety, or frustration and toward other believers. Therefore, you're not doing his love. You're not walking in the power of the Spirit. And so we spend some time on claiming whatever we want as we go through adversities and trials. Now, this morning, I want to introduce our study with what do you think? What do you think when you enter into a trial, an adversity? I don't care how it comes about. Be it failure, or be it from an unknown source and it just hits you as this one does hit Philip. What happens and what is your thought process? And as we're going to see, this is so important to our whole spiritual life. Let's begin this morning. One Sunday we tried to find it and I messed up on it. So look with me at Proverbs 23:7. Look with me at Proverbs 23:7. Now, we're going to be looking at this a lot over and over in our study of being who you are in Christ, or stress, anxiety, and depression. And so you might as well kind of get this in your mind. And eventually, like Isaiah 28, we won't have to turn there. But Proverbs 23:7 is the issue that I want to address. And as we move into our study this morning on testing, as we're looking at it in James. And Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." And in our study of being who you are in Christ, we are going to see a lot of principles related to this. For an example, no one can consistently act differently than they are in their own soul or the way they think they are. You can fake it for a while, But if you have an attitude about yourself and your thinking, eventually that is the way you are going to live. There's a lot of things we're going to see in regard to this. As you think, so you are, and this is especially true in entering tests, entering adversities, entering trials. Now, we're looking at James where it says, if you enter into a trial or a test, adversity, consider it joy and your thought process. Okay, you're getting ready to enter into, or as you enter into adversity, you enter into a test, you enter into a trial. Many Christians enter that test, that trial, that adversity, that suffering with this thinking. Here's their thinking. I deserve this. I deserve this. This is happening to me because I have failed. Either some big failure or day in and day out, I have failed to perform. And since I have failed to perform, I deserve what's happening in my life. And that's the way they enter a trial. When adversity comes into their life, something bad, in quotes, happens. Their thought is immediately, well, God's just getting even with me. Because I deserve it. Guilt and shame, which comes from Satan's lie. And Satan's lie being that my self-worth equals my performance plus others' opinion of me. And therefore, when they fail, this is going to be one of the results. People are going to study a lot of results of Satan's lie and a lot of results of living in what God says about you. And they're so different, but they characterize so many Christians. But a lot of Christians, when something happens in their life, they get that phone call, they get that doctor's message, or something happens at work, or financially, or whatever it may be, they're disappointed. Well, God just isn't giving this to me, because I don't deserve it. I have failed. This is happening to me. I've done something wrong. I deserve it. I failed. God's getting even with me. And so, therefore, Satan's lie is very powerful. And one of many results of it is, I failed and therefore I am not worthy. I am not worthy of God's love and deserve to be punished. And that's the way a lot of believers will live their life. I'll put it on the board and leave it there for a few moments because I want to talk about it. I failed to perform, therefore I am not worthy of love and deserve to be punished. And people, this is the way a lot of believers enter into tests and adversity. And when things don't go right in their life, this is their thinking. This is their mental attitude. And if this is your mental attitude, people, let me tell you something. You can do a real good job on this test. You've got to fail it miserably. This is your view of God. This is your view of the way God deals with you. And this is the way you're going to handle the test. I deserve it. And God's just getting even. This adversity in my life glorifies God because I'm no good. People, this is one of the worst things that can happen to a born-again believer is to come to the point, I do not deserve, I am not worthy of God's love. And you know the horrible thing about that is that there are a lot of Christians right there telling you that's right. There are preachers, this is their platform. This is a lot of preachers' platform. You sin, you fail, you don't deserve God's love, you can't serve God, and you deserve to be punished. You deserve to have this taken away. This is their view of God. So not only is this happening to you, not only is this your own view of yourself and of God, others are right there. Job's three friends are right there. Job's three friends are your friends. Job's three friends are preachers. And they're right there telling you, you're right, you don't deserve it, and this is why this is happening in your life. Now, let's contrast that with this thinking. You enter into a trial, a testing, an adversity comes into your life, and this is your thinking. This is an opportunity for God to be glorified in my life as He would not be glorified had this not happened. Now, can you see the difference in those two attitudes and how those two people, Christians, fellow members of the body of Christ, saved forever, are going to handle their trial. One enters it, I deserve this. I'm just getting what I deserve, and God's just taking things away from me and doing this because I don't deserve His love, I don't deserve anything, I deserve punishment. That's what I deserve. As opposed to, boy, this is going to be an opportunity for God to be glorified. I can't wait to see how God's going to come through this one, what God is going to do, and I am going to use this as an opportunity to trust Him and be led of Him through this whole deal. Two entirely different attitudes. Whatsoever a man thinks, so he is. You went into that trial, I deserve this. I'm just no good and unworthy of anything good from God. Then that's the way you think of yourself. That's the way you're going to handle the test. That's the way you're going to handle the trial. And you're going to be around, let me tell you something, you're going to be around those who agree with your thinking. You don't want to be around those who see what really is going on in truth. People that like self-pity are around people who get self-pity and also like self-pity. They feed each other. Because you're going to move away from the believers that just are constantly telling you, you're right, you're no good. You'll be around them long enough to let it sink in real good. Because they're just saying what you already think, and you're already, this is your view of God. But people, if you get the view of God, what God says about you, who you are in Christ, who you are in Him, what God has done and what God has planned for you, then trials, adversities are a wonderful thing to come into your life. They're an opportunity. But if you enter it the first way from Satan's lie, people, you're going to be depressed, discouraged, angered, blaming others, go from stress to anxiety to depression, Operation Fad, and so many things that we're going to look at. That's going to be your life. And that's unfortunately, is the way a lot of Christians live, especially when adversity comes to them. Well, I got an abortion. Well, I got a divorce. Well, I failed, and I didn't do this, or I did that. Whatever it may be, whatever your little standard is that you want to stab yourself in the back for, I did this, and now God just isn't going to let me do this. I sinned some great sin, and God is doing this now. Don't let people do that to you, people. That's not God. That's not the way God functions. That's not in the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible and the law. I take that back. So if you want to see that, it's there. It's there. But if you want to see the truth of who and what God is, that's there. If you enter it into God's thinking, people, it changes the whole way you're going to enter the trial, the whole way you're going to go through the trial, through the suffering, through the difficulty. You now view it as an opportunity. You now view it as a challenge to your trusting of Him. Your thinking as you enter the trial makes all the difference as you go through the trial. If you think of who you are in Christ in the adversity, if you believe who you are in Christ, then that's the way you're going to live. I am who I am in Christ, therefore I'm going to walk in the Spirit so that I can live it. I believe what God says about me, therefore I'm abandoning Satan's lie. I'm going to get into the power of the Spirit, and I'm going to live who I am in Christ. People, this is not a rah-rah speech by Norman Vincent Peale or somebody else. I'm not going to get involved in all that bull. Learn to love yourself. Get up and have wonderful thoughts about the birds in the sky. That's all bull for a Christian. What I'm going to say to you is and challenge you and help coach you, be who you are in Christ. Love who you are in Christ. Understand who you are in Christ. What He has done for you and what God has done for you and to you. That's the way you want to think. That's the way you want to live. This is who I am. And therefore, since that is who I am, somewhere maybe in our study, in dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression, and being who you are in Christ, we'll take a look at the prodigal son. He looked at himself in the pigsty and he says, you know, this isn't who I am. This is not who I am. My father relationship has nice things. I'm just going to go home and ask to be a servant. Because even a servant there is better than this. So he starts back from being who he is. people, you want to be who you are, especially when you enter into tests and adversity and trials. But it is so, people, it is so easy to be distracted and get off of who and what you are in Christ and start hanging around people that do not understand that and believe that. Be around Christians who do not think that way, but think in the way of Satan's lie. And you've had it. You've had it as far as that test is concerned. Now let's open the scriptures to James 1 with all this in mind. If you think of who you are in Christ, if you believe who you are in Christ, and people, you're going to start acting it. You'll walk in the power of the Spirit so that that's the way you're going to think. That's the way you're going to behave. You're going to behave as you are in Christ if you will walk in the Spirit, and you will walk in the Spirit if you think of who and what you are in Christ. That's going to cause you to walk in the Spirit. I am in Christ. I am a new creature. I am worthy of love eternally. There is nothing that can cause me to be unworthy of love, unworthy to serve, except my not walking as who I am in Christ. Don't let anyone take it away from you. Christians would love to do it. The whole thing in the first book written in the Bible, the book of Job, his three friends beat him down and crushed his soul. People, it wasn't Satan that crushed his soul. It was his three friends. Three Christian friends. Call them Christians in the realm of being believers. They crushed him. Don't let that happen. Be who you are in Christ. And be influenced by those who understand who you are in Christ. James chapter 1, verse 2. We have finished verse 2. We are looking at verse 3. Verse 2. Consider it all joy. Now, you see this? It's your thinking as you enter. That's what the word consider means. This is your thinking. Consider it. Thinking. My brethren, believer, who you are in Christ, when or as you encounter various diverse trials. When you encounter diverse trials. So we have born-again believers entering diverse. Diverse people, you can't plan. You can't get ready for every time. Every time that Satan can come up with and that God can test us with is within the range of that word diverse, various. All kinds of things. From the sin nature being tested and tempted to various things in your life and they're designed for you, they're designed just for you. What would be a test to some people would not be a test to others. What would be a trial to some people would not be a trial to other people. That's one reason you never judge other believers. Well, I don't know why they got all down about that. That isn't anything. And that I just, yeah, that's not your deal. Let's get yours, though. People don't judge how other people handle anything in life. Pray for them. But don't malign, judge, and talk. No place for that. Diverse. Various trials. Verse 3. Knowing, okay? Consider begins verse 2. Knowing begins verse 3. What are those? Those are activities of your mind. Whatever a man thinks, so he is. So consider. You have to consider it as something you deserve, you bum, when you encounter various trials. You are no good and you deserve them. Oh, that's wonderful. And that's the way a lot of Christians enter a trial. They considered it. What do you consider this? I consider this. I deserve it. I consider this might come up in from God. Oh, I know Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but God still is going to make me pay. No, you don't believe that happened at the cross then, people. I got news for you. You can say it. You can claim it. But you don't believe it. If you walk around believing, if you consider when a testing and trial comes, considering that you deserved it, then you don't believe it happened at the cross. Don't tell me you do. Don't sing, you know, praises about the work of Jesus at the cross, because you don't mean it. You turn around and beat yourself, judge yourself. So see the word consider? You can consider this as an opportunity, or you can consider this something you deserve. If you're in Satan's lie, you'll consider it something you deserve. When you encounter various trials, adversities, testings, and people, there are 24 hours a day. Verse 3, knowing, okay? Knowing, thinking, here's your thought process again, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Words like trials, tests, temptations, diverse trials, so on, cause great stress in a lot of Christians. People, let me tell you something. Getting to realize in Scripture, tests and trials, they're neither good nor bad. They're neither good nor are they bad. The effect of a test in your life is not determined. In fact, I think I have this down as I give it to you. Yeah, right here. Tests and trials, stress, and I'll put that in for what's coming up later, are neither good, they're neither good nor bad. Now look, think about this. The effect of these are not determined by themselves. The effect of some test in your life is not determined by that test. And let's go for the jugular. Let's go for her real hurt. Death of someone you love. Death of a child. Disease in your body. Financial loss. Not to mention all of the day in and day out trials we have all day long. So the tests and the trials are neither good nor bad in themselves. The effects of these are not determined by themselves, but how we view them. There's that considering and thinking. How we view them, how we think, and how we handle them. People, that's going to determine whether something is better of what it's going to do to you. Is it going to take you down? There's another word that I'll be using in our study when we get to it, and I've just this last week, 2 or 3 days, spent about 4 to 6 hours. I want to get going on it. But we're going to study stress and distress. And I'm going to make a distinction in those two words. But if you can just kind of start thinking with me on the word distress and dealing with how you handle them, this is going to determine whether a stress becomes distress in your soul, whether a trial becomes something torturous in your soul or not. As Christians, we either handle these trials, these things in life, according to what God says, or we handle them according to Satan's lies. You get to pick. As Christians, we handle these trials, these tests, even failures. I'm going to put the word failures here. We handle these according to what God says, or we handle them according to Satan's lie that your self-worth equals your performance plus others' opinion, and if you perform poorly, you deserve it. Or what God says. This is an opportunity for you to allow Him to be glorified in your life. But I want to repeat that. As Christians, we either handle these tests or trials and failures. People, I'm talking about good, big ones that occur in your life, and then those that just happen in the morning when you get up. As you go through the day, day in and day out, we all have them. You're going to have them. They're constant. It's another thing we're going to see. They're constant. They're constant. We like to think we take vacations to get away from them. How many people have ever had a vacation that was really relaxing the whole time and when you got back? We make even our vacations tough. We make it tough on ourselves financially. We make it tough scheduling. We make it tough arranging and all the things. And then we carry our cell phones. I don't. Many carry their cell phones on their vacation and they never get away from that. So we just keep adding it on, adding it on, adding it on. How we handle them is going to be the great issue. People, please understand this. The test is not the issue. The trial, the adversity, the suffering. It's how you handle it. I'm going to show you this in Scripture so you'll see what is going on. It is very important. So it is not the trial, it is not the test, it is not the disappointments in life that are going to take you down, people. It's how you handle them. How you view them. Something happens in your life and you immediately in your mind, boy, I deserve this. Boy, God's just getting me because I did this and this and this. And the reason that I'm not happy today is because God's just getting me. But God will not let me be happy. And I'm not going to attack you by self-pity. I don't do that anymore. What I'm going to say to you is, look at your view of God. I'm not going to come down on you, you poor little weak. I don't do that. I don't believe that anymore. That's wrong. I have a better way of talking with you. Look at your view of God. Your view of the sovereign, omnipotent God is He's not going to let you be happy because you sinned or failed to perform. Boy, you've got a real big God there. You've got a real big, compassionate, loving God, don't you? No, you've got the God of Mount Sinai, and just stay there. Because that's the God of Mount Sinai. But it's not the true God of the Bible. But that's the way people believe. God just isn't going to let me have this because I failed. And God just up there keeping score. And God's letting these other people have it. Oh, is that right? Wednesday night we did a very important study in Psalm 73 in regard to the wicked, as they're called in that passage, and how they prosper. How they prosper. And I love what the psalmist said. You could tell it's amazing. He said, they don't even have trouble dying. Christians have trouble dying, and they don't even have trouble. They die peacefully. It's just not fair, God. And he's jealous of them. Jealous of them. Instead of jealousy. Okay. What's your thinking? And you enter into these things that happen day in and day out of your life. Just people, it can be little things. We're getting ready to go into the most difficult time of the year, the most wonderful time of the year, the most stressful and the most difficult for a lot of people, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and then bill paying. There are actually several parts to it. And many people just have a terrible time. Hey, I don't like New Year's. I don't like Thanksgiving. I don't like Christmas. Just wish you could just keep going through and not fool around with my emotions. Well, let's see, if rather than doing away with Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving and parties and fun, we can do something in your soul. So we're not going to change the world. So we might as well get ourselves in God's plan. Okay, so this becomes very important now. These things that happen in your life are not the issue. The issue is how we're going to handle them, how we're going to think. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various and diverse trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Consider knowing. Emphasizing activity of your mind as you're in the trials, the testings, and the sufferings. Proverbs 23:7, whatever a man thinks, consider knowing. So what do you think? How are you going to think when these things come into your life? As you enter the trials, how do you think? Clap, fall apart, blame God, self-pity on your part? Or do you consider and know things that are going on? Remember, the word to know means to discern, to distinguish, to distinguish, to think under pressure. Here's your thinking under the stress of your life. Now, what do we know? Okay, let's go now. What do we know? Knowing. Okay, I got to know something. What are we going to know? From the Scriptures and wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we know what? Look, testing of our faith produces endurance. And people, endurance is essential to living a life by faith. Endurance is essential to living a life by faith. You can go into bookstores. There are hundreds, thousands of books written on this from the human viewpoint, even human viewpoint by Christians. People, I'm not going to get into all of that rah-rah-rah stuff even written by Christians. We're going to stay with new man, old man. We're going to stay with being who you are in Christ or living under Satan's lie. Because to me, that's where the answer is for us. I'm not going to tell you to sit there in front of the mirror and tell yourself how wonderful you are. Because you and I know you're not, and I know you're not, and I know I'm not. Except in Christ. Except in Christ. Now, you have worth. Now, you are worthy of love. You are worthy to serve. And that, people, is who you really are. That's who you are. It's who you are in Christ. That's got to be the reality. Okay, what do we know? That the testing of our faith produces endurance. Essential to living in life is the endurance of faith. Important for all of your life. The word testing. This is a different word that you had in verse 2 for trials. The word here is dokimion. It means, and listen now, it has a little different twist to it. It has a little different twist to it now. Testing of your faith. The word dokimion primarily carries, I put it on the board if there were a reason, and it wouldn't do anything for you. It's what it means. It's important. The word means approved. Uh-oh. Sounds like a test to me. Sounds like God's scorekeeping. It means to be tried, or means of proving, a criterion, a test by which anything is proved or tried. The root of the word carries the significance of approval. Approval of what? Approval of faith. Not your performance, people. Approval of faith. Question, what is the approval of faith? Sounds like a weird question. What is the approval of faith? Now, many people think if you're into the study of the book of James, the book really is about work. That's what most people think the book of James is about. People, let me tell you what the book of James is about. It's about the endurance of faith. If you get that in your mind and not be influenced by the world here, and I mean the body of Christ world, this is a book about the endurance of faith. Endurance of faith. Okay, got two words, endurance and of faith. I want to talk about the word stress for a moment. The word test and stress, I want to talk about them together. Talk about stress for a moment. And about what James is saying. People, our whole life is made up of various levels of stress or test. Test slash stress. It is through stress that we develop and grow just in normal life. Let's talk about secular life. It is through stress that we grow physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. People, how does our body develop? Our body develops through stress. That's how our physical body develops. Now, let's talk about that a moment. Since I've been working on this, I've been doing something else in the gym. I've been watching people as well as doing my own routine. And watching the stress that some people will put on their bodies, the stress they will put on their knees, their back, their shoulders, their chest, their biceps, their triceps. And as I'm sitting there thinking about this study, and things in the Bible, stress and all this, thinking about that. Look at these people. Now, look at me. But we're putting a tremendous amount of stress on our bodies in the gym. Now, nobody's complaining. Nobody's crying. I deserve this pain. You know, well, maybe sometime after we've had a lot of ice cream, we might think we deserve a little bit of it. But that's more humor than reality. Nobody has those kind of thoughts. What are our thoughts? This stress on this portion of my body, on this muscle or area of my body, is what? It's going to develop it. It's going to make it healthier. It's going to make it stronger. It's going to help it. So the stress there, if you see what I'm saying, is not bad. It's not bad. Why isn't it bad? Because the way I'm thinking about it. The way I'm thinking about it, as I entered into it, as they enter into it, and some of the guys, and even a few of the girls, some of those girls I wouldn't want to meet in an alley. But you know, some of these guys get in there and the stress they put on their body is just unbelievable. They put on their knees, put on their legs, put on their back, it's every part of the body, even their wrists, and their work on that. It's not bad. It's not good. It's not bad. It's what they're doing with it. I just say if you take some of those same people, take some of the same people into another situation and put the same amount of stress on their body and their thinking is different, I think it would hurt them. It'd wear them out. It would cause them a real breakdown. If their thinking is, boy, this is, you know, what's happened. Be funny with it even now to make my point. Oh, my wife's making me work, making me clean this out, making me lift this all day, making me do this. Oh, I'm tired. My back hurts. This hurts. That hurts. All you're thinking. Then I go down to the gym, lift 3 times that much, and doesn't hurt at all. The back doesn't bother them. It's your thinking. It's your attitude. When you walk into these kinds of stress. So it's our thinking, how we enter into the test determines if the test is going to be stress, something that's good, or distress, something that's going to weigh us down. People, it's not the test in your life. I want you to understand that as we talk. It's not the problems in your life. Financial. I'd like to go through them, but I know I've missed people. But it may be financial. It may be health, disease, cancer, various things wrong with the body. It may be relationship, marriage, divorce, romance, friends, family. It may just be loneliness. It may be discouragement. It may be other things, other problems that different people have. And they're all set to different kinds in every society. Front page of the paper this morning. How would you like to be a refugee in Afghanistan and nobody wants you? They don't want you in Pakistan. They don't want you in Iran. They don't want you in China. All the countries that border you, they don't want you. And if you go back where you are, you're going to get bombed, killed. So there's just all kinds of things. But it's not those, even those things, people that are the good or the bad. It's how we handle them. It's not the things that happen in your life, the good and the bad things. I don't care what they are, failures of sin, or all these types of things. It's how you're going to handle them as a Christian. Are you going to handle them by what God says, or are you going to handle them by Satan's lies? Now, Satan's counterfeit. I dare say every one of you, including Amber and Debbie, who are the youngest people here, seen enough movies, done enough reading about people through history in America, have horrible circumstances, and boy, they just pull themselves up, and they're not going to let this get them down, and they're going to rise again, and they're going to make it, and they do. They go through all kinds of disasters. They go through divorces. They go through financial loss. They go through cancer. They go through just movies and books written about and that spirit to get up and keep moving. The Karate Kid, and he's beaten down, and he's bleeding, and he's lying on the floor, and the little Oriental, you get up and you fight for yourself. And boy, he rises up, and you hear the music and the crowd, and this little guy, this is exciting, I loved it. And he just gets himself up, and he wins this match miraculously. The guy just beating to a pulp, but he gets up and beats him. And we love that stuff. I wish I could do that. Wish I'd like that. I'd have stayed on the ground. I wish I'd had that kind of spirit. Okay, you can do this in the flesh. And I believe nearly every one of you could. I believe nearly every one of you could get yourself up because you're an American, you have that kind, but people, that's not what it's about. It's about doing it in Christ. It's about letting Him do it in us to give Him glory. That's what it's about. I say it every time in the study of testing, and I say it every time in the study of testing. Unbelievers make it through every kind of test that Christians will be hit with. And they make it, as far as life's concerned. And if that's all you're concerned with, don't be concerned. You'll do all right. But if you want to make it glorifying your Savior, you want to make it glorifying your God, then that's a whole other issue. That's a whole other issue. There are people that have gone through New York's disaster, and you've heard them and I've heard them. Give God all the glory. There are others who just talk about it. They don't mention God. They just mention how they had to do this and do that. And I love listening to it, just to kind of hear what they're going to say, how they're going to word it. People, it's about giving Him the glory. As you enter into the test, this is an opportunity for the development and the approval of what? Of your faith, the endurance of your faith, so that all through your life, because you're never going to get away from it, you're never, ever, ever going to get away from this testing and adversity and trials and walking by faith in your life, ever. Yesterday morning, I was in a couple working out together, and we were in the scene area together. Looked at him and I said, you know the great thing about this? And he looked at me and said, what could be great? He's about my age. And I said, we only have to do this the rest of our lives. And I started laughing. I think we want to die next week. We're ready to die. But you're going to be tested on this the rest of your life, people, walking by faith. And if you develop the endurance of your faith in the Holy Spirit, please be sure you've got the right faith in mind. Please be sure you've got the right faith in mind. Faith in Him. Not faith in that you do your part, God will do things. So, this is a great issue. There are two types, there are two faiths. Salvation one faith, salvation two faith. Salvation won is a one-shot decision. You're saved forever. It can't be changed. You can't lose it. That's why you're always worthy. That's why you're always worthy to be loved. That's why you're always worthy to serve. Because of that faith, that act of faith in Jesus Christ. Then there's salvation too, faith. This is your faith in your life. This is why faith is the battle. Testing Him daily, moment by moment, after the and through every test, every trial, every adversity, everything that happens in your life. It's an ongoing for the rest of your life. So you might as well learn the endurance of it. You might as well get it down, because it'll be the battle all your life. Many Christians claim faith, claim to be walking by faith, but people, it is not the faith God is looking for. Many preachers will preach faith, but you have to listen. Is it the faith that God is looking for? Many people will talk about faith even to be eternally saved, salvation won. But is it the faith God is looking for? Is it an act of faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ and nothing else? Many will talk about faith and living the Christian life, but is it that moment-by-moment faith in the power of the Holy Spirit to walk you through, guide you, lead you, empower you, give you wisdom to make it through all the things that happen to life? You've got to listen. Is this the faith God is looking for? And the faith that God is looking for is that faith that is in Him, not even in doctrine, but in Him, trusting Him. Faith is a relationship word. Doctrine takes us to Him. Doctrine guides us to walk and trust Him. We do not have a faith that if I do this, God will do His part, then God will do for me. It's not the faith God is looking for, people. The faith that God is looking for is trusting the One who stands. That's what He's looking for. If we're walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, then people, the Holy Spirit does the work for us. This guides you in understanding the book of James. Work, faith without works is dead. Many claim faith, but there's no production of faith. And what's the greatest production of faith? Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says what? Nothing else matters but what? Faith expressing itself in love. James just stood on the side of the church, the assembly. He didn't follow people around. He didn't follow you to your home. He didn't follow you in the car driving down the freeway. He just stood over here in the assembly. And you know what he didn't see? He didn't see the production of faith. He didn't see love. Even better, if they weren't doing it in their own assembly, they aren't doing it anywhere else, your faith is dead. Whatever your faith is in. And I like that he said that. He didn't say you're not using faith, people. He didn't say that. He said the faith you're using is dead. It's non-productive. If you're trusting God to work because you do something, your faith is dead. Meaning it has no production. If your faith is in a member of the Godhead, your faith is in Jesus Christ for salvation, you'll get it. It's alive. Your faith is in the Holy Spirit to live a Christian life, sanctification. You'll get it. He's alive. But if your faith is in anything else, people, it is not the faith that God is looking for. So many claim faith, but it's not the faith that God is looking for. This is going to guide us in what God would have us to do. Verse 3 then. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Is so important. What is the approval of your faith? Or how is faith approved? One, faith is being examined. Faith is being examined, not your knowledge of Bible doctrine. This is not where you get to sit down and write, try to apply doctrine by human IQ, by their knowledge. But that's not what is under test. I'm sorry. It's just not what is being test. All right, major point two. Major point one, faith is what is being examined, not your knowledge. Major point two, nor is it the approval as to the magnitude of your faith. Nor is it the approval as to the magnitude of your faith. That is not what is being tested, the approval of how much faith you have. God is not trying to see how much faith you have. Whether you have a whole lot of faith or just a little bit of faith. That's not what is being tested. Three sub-points. Sub-point one, it is not a matter of magnitude. It is not a matter of magnitude of faith. Two, measurement for faith is always the same. The standard measurement of faith is always the same, the grain of mustard seed. That's all God is ever looking for. Sub-point three, this is not the approval of the amount of your faith, but simply, will you keep on trusting Him? Will you just trust Him from moment to moment with that grain of mustard seed? Will you just trust Him? You're dragging, you're hurting, you're crying, but will you trust Him? Major point three. This is the approval. This is the approval of what kind of faith you have. That is the direction of your faith. The approval of the direction of your faith is the direction of your faith toward Him, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, or is the direction of your faith something you do? So it is the approval of what kind of faith you have. So we have three major points here on the approval of your faith produces endurance. One, faith that is being examined is what is being examined, not your knowledge. Two, nor is it the approval as to the magnitude of your faith, how much faith you have. People are so important. Let me give you a quick example. We did this in the crisis of faith, but just so you remember, we could take two people. Let's take us, a 10-year-old little boy, little girl, 8-year-old, I don't care, 8-year-old, 7-year-old, that's when I said to her, 7-year-old, and a 35-year-old, and they're both unbelievers, and we get the gospel to both. Okay, let's talk about the 35-year-old. It is one big battle. This 35-year-old has to work through so much. They have to work through whether or not they even believe in God. They have to work through how they've not seen God act the way they think God should act. They have to work through, do I really believe in a heaven to be gained and a hell to be feared that I should believe in this man Jesus? They have to work through the whole Jesus thing as opposed to Muhammad and Buddha and all of this. And they've got to work through their hurts and their disappointments and their pains and their past and their present. They've got to work through their failures. They've got to work through so much. And it is tough. It is unbelievable what some of them have to go through. But I got a question for you. Is there more faith required of a 35-year-old than a 7-year-old to be saved? No. The same grain of mustard seed. Oh, people, I'm not saying it's not more difficult for that 35-year-old to give that grain of mustard seed of faith, to believe. But I am telling you is that from God's perspective, God's not asking more faith from that 35-year-old than from the 7-year-old. God's not asking more faith from you now than He did at the cross, people. And God's not asking more faith of you like in the study with Peter, the fifth, sixth, and seventh time when somebody sins against you and you forgive them. Or when you've gone through and you've got to do what? You've got to keep on walking by faith. This is the endurance thing, people. What is it, endurance? Get that word down. It is the endurance. Please write this down. It is the endurance of the grain of mustard seed of faith. It is not more faith. I love the word endurance here. It's just the endurance of the grain of mustard seed of faith. Will you trust me? Will you trust me this hour with that amount of faith? Don't trust me tomorrow. You don't have that much faith. Just trust me this hour with a grain of mustard seed of faith. It's the endurance of that grain of mustard seed of faith. He's not looking for more faith, people. He's looking for the perseverance, the endurance of just that grain of mustard seed, and dot a lot on the grain of mustard seed. Do you understand? Let me see if you can comprehend it, how this works. If God is asking for more faith from you, do you understand why that would become a work? Yeah. If we say God wants more faith from me, we've made faith a work. And I've got to come up with it. I've got to come up with more faith if God is looking for more faith to get me through this adversity, this testing, this trial, this suffering, this loneliness, this hurt, this adversity, the financial, the physical, disease, the cancer in my body, the death of someone I love, on and on and on. I've got to come up with more faith for God to act in my life, to give me joy and peace. Do you understand what you're saying? God's raised the price of His joy and His peace and His love. You now got to give Him more faith. Oh, people, don't do that to God. Whatever you want to do to each other and to yourself, don't do that to God. Oh, well, now that your adversity is really tough, it's going to cost you more to have my peace in it. Is that the way you think about God? God forbid if it is. Oh, you really hurt. Oh, you really hurt, and I know you cry all night long. But if you want my peace now, oh boy, you got to come up with more faith than that little bitty grain of mustard seed. I want more now. No, it's free. It's free. That's when He'll give it to you, is in the middle of the night. If in the middle of the night, you'll just give Him that grain of mustard seed. If in the middle of the darkness, He was getting that grain of mustard seed of faith. And He can start pouring in His love, and the dawn starts coming into your life. The light starts coming in. He's not looking for more faith, people. It's not a test to see if He can give Him more. And God forbid you ever live with each other that way, as a husband and wife, parent, child, a friend. You've got to give me more love. You've got to give me this. You've got to give me that. People, what God is looking for in His relationship with Him is, will you just trust me? Will you trust me today? Will you trust me this hour with the same grain of mustard seed that you trusted the work of my Son on the cross? And I'll give you all my fruit. I'll give it freely. Just trust me. That's all He's looking for. So make the point too. This is not the approval of the magnitude of your faith. It is not the approval of your knowledge. It is not the approval of the magnitude. This is the approval of what kind of faith you have. Object of your faith. Are you trusting Him? Or are you trusting yourself? Trusting the one He sent. Is it thinking who you are in Christ and what He has done for you, not what you're going to do for Him, people? That's not your worth. Your worth is in what He's done for you. That's my worth. That's your worth. That's our value. What we have and what He has done for us at the cross and in the power of His Spirit. In the Epistle of James, this is the first mention of faith. Live your faith. And it's put into the context of the endurance. The endurance of the faith that God is looking for. Now, if there is the endurance of faith, watch this now, especially those of you who come on Wednesday night. If there is the endurance of faith, guess what? There'll be the endurance of love. Even when you don't want to. When your love is rejected, when your love is with Christ at the cross, to Christians and unbelievers and believers, when they've hurt you, Christ and the disciples, and somebody has sinned against you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in one day, the endurance of your faith in the Holy Spirit will produce the endurance of your love in relationship with that person throughout your life. It's the secret in marriage. It's the secret in family. And what's the secret? The endurance of faith. Because if you have the endurance of faith in the Spirit, you will have the endurance of love. When it's really tough. When you're really tested. Really challenged. You might even, I don't want to. So Father, give me the desire to desire your love. And He'll do it. He will change our soul. So it's our faith, His work. Not our work. It's our faith, His work. So So here it is again. Are you trusting the Holy Spirit? Are you trusting God? Or are you trusting Him to accept what you do? These are entirely two different things, people. Trusting God to accept what you do. You're back on Satan's lie now. You're back on the performance standard. You see that? God, I am trusting you to accept what I do. Therefore, I am on the performance basis again with God. Is that what you want to be? I still don't. Now, a lot of self-righteous Christians do. They think they're very proud of their performance, how good they are. A lot of preachers do. You make up your mind, because if that's what you say is, Father, I'm trusting you to accept what I do, then you've just taken yourself into Satan's lie as a performance trap and what other people think of you, and you're enslaved to that. Is your faith conditional? Is your faith conditional? This is a faith that's under testing here, under approval of under the approval. Is your faith conditional? I am trusting you, God, to do this. I am trusting you to remove the cancer from my body. I am trusting you not to let this marriage end divorce. I am trusting you not to let me become a poor person like Lazarus. I am trusting you to make things work out all right in my life. I am trusting you to do this and that. Is your faith conditional? Or are you saying, I trust you, God? Now, people, there's nothing wrong with the desires of our heart. My prayer request? Yeah. That this not end the divorce. My prayer request is, yes, take the pain away. To do this and that. But thy will be done in my life, and I trust you. Whatever you choose to do, I trust you. So, is your faith conditional? That's what's being looked at. Testing God to approve of what you do, or testing God, whatever He does. Knowing that the testing, the approval of your faith, produces endurance. Present middle indicative of hupomone. It says hupo means under, plus the word more, to stay or to abide, to preserve, to stand fast in your faith, under pressure, trials, testings, temptations, even failures. I guess this will be a good place, and we will not finish the testing study before we break for our communion next week. We'll come back here. I didn't plan this, but apparently we need to do it. So we will pick it up right here with endurance. Hupomone. The endurance of what now? As you leave here this morning, what is he looking for? He's looking for the endurance of the grain of mustard seed of faith. That's all. He's asking you no more than what you gave him at the cross when you were totally dead, which you are, by the way, when we're out of fellowship. But even through life, all he's asking for is, look what I did for you with the grain of mustard seed at the cross. Just trust me. The endurance of the grain of mustard seed. That's all he's looking for. He doesn't ask more. And we develop that endurance, people. The endurance of that faith. 24 hours a day, our body, our life is under stress. But it's not the testing and the stress, it's the difficulties, how you and I handle them. Part of what growing up is about. Oh, God, how wonderful for you that are mothers and fathers. Be able to see this now. Teach your children. Train them how to enter into these stress, tests, adversities, failures, things that happen in life. To walk in the Spirit of the living God. Not to come down on themselves and all this type of thing, and not to come under Satan's lie, but just to walk by faith and trust Him. To be able to have that opportunity to affect the 21st century, in the middle of the 21st century, when they start becoming adults and run the world. It's a great opportunity, if you see the truth now, to be able to give this. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we just praise you for the God that you are. That you're not coming down on us and bad things happen because we deserve it and we're so horrible. We don't deserve your love. You took care of all of that ideology, all of that philosophy, all of that thinking at the cross. You washed it away. Let us understand, Heavenly Father, each day we live, clear picture of who and what you are and what kind of God you are. And as we understand and see, Father, that all it draws from us is more and more praise, more and more worship. When we're at our lowest point, Father, we just see what a magnificent God, compassionate, loving, merciful God you are. We praise you, Father. Praise you, Father, that we can have a healthy understanding of stress, a test, and trials. What they're producing inside of us, the endurance, that going a message to. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.